This is Frank Skinner. This is Absolute Radio.
Hello, this is Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio with Emily Dean and Alan Cochrane. Now, we're not live, so don't text the show. Just don't. But you can follow us at Frank on the Radio on Twitter and Instagram and email us via the Absolute Radio website. So we're contactable, but there may be some delay in our response. Let's put it that way. Welcome. Good. Hello, guys.
Morning.
Salway to.
Sanctuary. 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 Sorry, that was Charles Lawton from The Hunchback of Notre Dame, who shouted sanctuary. And that's how I feel now, because I am... It's lovely to be here, guys, in the grown-up world. I've been homeschooling this week.
Oh,
man.
How's it going?
Oh, badly. Me and Buzz have had times when we've just been screaming at each other. This is me and my 7-year-old.
Sorry to laugh.
I know. I mean, honestly, screaming. He wrote a prayer. He had to write a prayer to Catholic school. He had to write a prayer, called the Rainbow Prayer. And obviously, the idea, it was about the NHS and frontline workers, you know, and right. All that stuff. And I read it. It's a beautiful thing. But the main body of it is asking God to help us to get through the homeschooling. It gets billing above the coronavirus. which was a bit hard to take. The other day I've been hearing myself say things when I've thought, oh, come on, Frank, you're better than that. Because he said, Louise never raises her voice. She never shouts at us in class. I said, well, let's try asking Louise to do a stand-up comedy tour at short notice and see what her stress levels are like on that one. And I thought, why are you saying that to a 7-year-old child?
Also, it's unlikely that she would agree to that, I think.
No, but, yeah. You know, if she had to, as I have to do this, no one asked me. I've just ended up... I mean, you know, I left the teaching profession some
Frank,
years ago.
I completely sympathise, because I imagine, you know, it must be quite hard going suddenly having to turn teacher, especially to family members.
Exactly.
However...
You know, like can I just give a brief little insight? You know that thing they say, never, ever teach your partner to drive?
Mm.
Right.
And that is, it's because if teaching is a sort, there's a gap caused by sort of strangerdom, which is part suspicion and fear, but it manifests itself as respect. And with a close family unit, you don't get respect, obviously. So if you get angry, it just pours out, and that's the problem. Sorry, Emily.
This is all true. However, I would just remind you that you do have form for, I think, Andrew Lloyd Webber and various others of offering notes, helpful notes sometimes.
Yeah. Yes.
And it doesn't always go that well, does it?
Look, I'm not saying I'm good at it. That's the point. they've just said to me, right, you're teaching now, by the way. You've got like a week to think about it. And then we'll be sending stuff and you'll be the captain of the ship. Oh, man, it's... I've got to tell you. And then we got, you know, I'm not complaining. There's people much worse off than me. But then when, you know, everything is done on sitting in my linen basket, trying to do tech things. Like, we've just had our sound check for this show. And then, like, Emily's voice suddenly went weird and and I thought, I'm going to start doing that thing that DJs used to do when they had phone-ins. Let's start going, have you got your radio on? Have you still got your radio on? I was going to start doing that. I'm on the edge. That's where I am. Right on the edge. Anyway, how are you guys handling it?
Wow.
Well, if I may say so, one of the mistakes that you're making is attempting to teach them. It really takes a lot of the pressure off if you just don't try.
Well, I know. I noticed that with a lot of the teachers at my school.
Yes.
Took that approach. There are people, but you know people who homeschool by choice, and there may be people here listening, and God bless you, but I've always thought they were troubled souls.
Yeah.
who actually chose to homeschool their children. Like, you know,
we stay here.
We don't want the outside world coming in, lad. You gather around me.
Yeah.
And now I'm that bloke. I've become that bloke against my will.
Homeschoolers and doomsday preppers are the people really laughing at the rest of us right now.
Yeah. Well, but I've learnt that they don't have much else to laugh about in their terrible life. Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio. Did you guys watch One World Together at Home last weekend?
Well, I did catch a few moments. I mean,
oh, it was. Obviously, it was, you know, for a good cause, etc. But yeah,
what cause was it?
You know, the front line.
Yeah,
and but it was a lot of
communal sing along, wasn't it?
It was mainly singers from their own homes, so you got a chance. Right. It was a bit Judges' Houses.
Yes,
except it really was their houses. I think. I mean, J-Lo seem to be, you know, when you go, have you ever been to one of those sort of winter wonderland places?
Yes.
She seems to live in one. It was all
does
like,
she?
It was a big piece of sort of countryside with fairy lights in the trees and stuff. Yeah, I'm not as big a fan as a fairy light as most of the modern world, I don't think. Kat's a big fan of the fairy light. I'm not. I like them at Christmas. You know, I don't have turkeys in April, and I don't have fairy lights. But she did her song. She did, I think she did, did she do People Meeting People?
I'll tell you what she did. She did People Who Need People wearing a Liza Minnelli sweatshirt, thereby reminding us of what it could have sounded like.
I thought it was Michael Jackson on the T-shirt.
Yeah, but don't wear the sweatshirt featuring the person who did the original.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, would I wear a Dave Lee Travis sweat doing this show?
No.
Well, it turns out I am. So what about that for a coincidence?
I so wish you were.
It just says the hairy cornflake. Yeah, the hairy cornflake in glitter. And then actually the back of his head, he's actually turned away from the camera. It's a weird old
is he wearing the reactor light? Rapide sunglasses.
Well, I can only see the tip. I can only see the tip of his stems. So there's a bit of guesswork involved there. Anyway, the main thing for me, and there were many things to discuss on One World Together, was, did you see Sir Elton John?
I did not see that. I'm guessing, Sir Elton John has a nice home.
No, well, we don't know. He was on his he was in his garden with a piano. Which I assume was taken out there. He's got an outdoor piano, Elton John. But he sang, I thought, slightly inappropriately, I'm Still Standing.
Right.
And I thought, yeah, don't crow about it.
Show off.
Yeah.
Also, while sitting.
Didn't do it at Diana's funeral. And and then he did a... Did you hear it? Because he's sort of going... It's a song I really like, mainly the gorilla version from Kiss. But he's sort of going... All that stuff that he does. And then he went, I'm till tending.
He didn't say.
And I thought, you're right. So my dad used to say this thing. If anyone's felt like, I say, oh, I've got a bit of a short tongue. And that's what I thought. And I thought, did I hear that right? And then when it came round again, I'm tilting. Yeah. I'm tilting. You're right, Elton. I'm absolutely fine. Thank you very much. what was that about? You didn't used to sing it like
it
that.
It did get very sort of Vic Reeves pub singer.
I mean, you know, respect to him. He's tilting. But not, he's not talking. Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio. Yeah, we were talking about One World Together at Home. The one of the highlights was John Legend and Sam Smith doing a duet.
Oh, I saw that.
And John Legend had got a tiny shelf behind him. It's just like a short shelf. Looks like something he might have knocked up when he knew he was going to be performing. And he had squeezed onto it every award he's ever got. There was
he
an
really
absolute
did.
Cluster. Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. It looked like it had been put up for the occasion using a tube of No More Nails. He didn't even bother with hammering it in. He just stuck it on there.
And Sam Smith, Al, had his Oscar as well, I believe.
Now, yeah, but that, I'll tell you what he did. It was sort of in room.
Oh,
he was in a room at the back of him or something, wasn't he? Oh, they, sorry.
Them.
They had it at the room at the back of them. And so it was a bit more subtle. But, legend. He was an absolute legend.
Legend.
He just got him. He might as well have got the old drumsticks and played them. Which is what Charlie Watts basically did. He played flight cases, Charlie Watts.
Yeah, he was playing the furniture, wasn't he? Like a toddler.
Yeah.
What I liked about...
Rolling Stones drummer, obviously.
The Stones houses, Frank, that was my favourite. Because I like to think their interiors sort of summed them all up. Because you had Mick had the sort of country print curtains, a bit sort of littery, you know. It was a bit like an expensive therapist's house, I thought, Mick's.
A couple of watercolours in the background, that kind of thing.
And then Keith, obviously, it looked like sort of our Keith's house, appropriately enough. Like there'd be lighters in a bowl somewhere. It had that feel. Ronnie, a bit arty. Sorry, Frank.
Did you see the thing on Keith's coffee table? He had the biggest leather-bound collection of Sherlock Holmes by Conan Doyle you've ever seen.
Oh, that so is which, funny.
And it was such a big, ornate volume. I thought, that is definitely hollow with drugs in it. That just is, that is not a book. If you open that, it would be like, you know when people sell ice cream at the theatre in those trays with like an array of different products? It would be every drug you'd heard of and several that you hadn't.
Do you think that book is his equivalent of those sometimes in novelty shops you can get bean cans that are actually for cash that you can open it up and just stuff it with money? Have you seen those?
Yeah, well, I've got the English-French dictionary, which opens up and is a thing that you can keep stuff in.
You should definitely tell people that on the radio.
Well, I'm only telling them that because the stuff in it is stuff like scribbled old bits of stand-up that never worked and stuff.
Did you notice as well that when J-Lo introduced herself, she said, global citizens, which was...
Yeah.
It was very the aliens have landed. Yeah.
What was the first word she said?
She said global citizens.
Oh, I thought she said robo-citizens. As if she was delivering it to some droid audience that brought in to make her feel like it was a real setup. And at she said, I miss you.
I miss you.
Who do you miss? Perhaps she was talking to the very top end of celebrity. We all miss it, darling, but we don't wash our dirty linen in public. Frank Skinner on
Absolute Radio. Talking about One World, Frank, there was another thing.
One World Together at Home.
Yes.
Okay.
Respect. I suppose the feeling I felt was relief for Tom Jones, who did a lovely performance. And I was just relieved that, you see, he's ahead of the curve. He's gone grey already. So otherwise it would have been an issue. He would have been over the sink with the marigolds. But he was my favourite performance. But I did think, did you see Lang Lang as well?
Can I just say what would have been my favourite performance is if Tom Jones had continued to dye his hair right up until lockdown and then suddenly have appeared on Sunday night looking like an old sofa. I mean, that would have been such a talking point. Yes, I did. Lang Lang was part of a super group, wasn't he?
It was Lady Gaga, it was Celine Dion and... someone else, and I can't remember who the other person was.
I think did Legend come back for that?
Legend.
I got an idea. Legend returned for that.
Yes.
Yeah. Lang Lang has got a bit of gel, and he looks a bit groovier than he used to.
Well, that's what I thought. He'd really made an effort to go with the sort of rock thing the pop music thing, because he'd put his special, you know, when you have that velvet, the blazer that you have for best, he'd put that on. He'd put his special velvet blazer on.
Remember who the other guy
on.
Was? Yeah, it was Andrea Bocelli, the other guy in the super group, wasn't it?
Oh, yes, yes.
Him, you know him.
But what obsessed me about Lang Lang is he had a really horrible, I mean, horrible doesn't even cover it, yellow chair. Did you see it? I couldn't take my eyes off it.
No, I never noticed that.
Oh, it was disgusting.
I don't know who Lang Lang is, but now I'm going to Google
Lang
his
Lang
chair.
Lang Lang is one of the world's leading classic pianists.
Oh,
I
yes.
did the one show with him once. He's a very nice fellow. He does a online learn a Chinese word every day sort of thing on YouTube. I don't know if he still does that, but that's what he used to do.
And Mandarin
I tried a few
Cantonese.
Of those.
He's a gifted chap.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's a good question, that Mandarin or Cantonese. I mean, there's no such language as Chinese. I did that bad thing that us Westerners do. I'll be talking about learning Indian in a minute. I don't know which one it was. Eddie Vedder.
Oh, Dracula's butler.
No, I'm sorry, that was the weather forecast. from Elton John. Very Eddie Vedder. Now, Eddie Vedder of Pearl Jam, he did. I think this is a show I'm going to watch 3 or 4 times because, you know, we were talking about the photos that we put out of us at home.
Yes.
And people went looking in the background for stuff. On Eddie Vedder of Pearl Jam, on his mantelpiece was the biggest harmonica I've ever... I mean, it was like four
That's
feet
not a euphemism.
Across.
Yeah.
No.
You think
it was like, you know, when you see, you know, when you
giants?
See programs like... Yeah, well, you know when you get see Land of the Giants or The Borrowers or something like that, and they have those enormous props to put them. It's like that. It's like Eddie Vedder's broke into the giant Larry Adler's treehouse, and he's performing from there.
Or perhaps he's just tiny. We didn't realise.
Oh. Frank Skinner. Absolute Radio. We were talking about One World Together at Home. I was also watching, I've been watching a lot of music because I work for Absolute Radio, where real music matters. And
very
I was
good.
Watching the popular crooner George Ezra live in concert an indoor festival in Switzerland that I'd never heard of. And... George Ezra chats quite a bit in between songs. He's one of these blokes that does a proper intro to the song.
Oh, nice.
You know, and I like Bob Dylan and The Fall. I'm not used to people talking to the audience.
Well, abusing the audience is what you're used to.
Yeah, maybe. Mark E. Smith of The Fall did once begin a gig by saying, "Welcome to my vendetta." Which I always enjoyed.
That's how I start relationships.
Well, it was. I tell you, every Fall gig I saw was fueled by his almost completely unharnessed rage. I mean, he just prowled around the stage, breaking stuff, turning the people's amplifiers down, glaring. Oh, wow. It's absolutely brilliant. George Ezra's not like that.
No.
And George Ezra started talking about how he'd done this tour and, you know, it had been great because the album had done much better than he'd thought and all that. And he seems a very, very nice chap. And he said, so I really enjoyed the tour. He said, we went to a place called South Africa. And I thought, what? And even Boss, my 7-year-old who was with me, looked at me and said, and looked at back at George Ezra and said, "Oh, tell me more." And then he started riffing. It's the first time, I think I was witness to my son's first comedy riffing experience,
which
is something that's got me through all the lowest times in my life and indeed the high ones. He started saying like, a place called South Africa. Ever heard of it? Anyone? And stuff like that. And like running with the theme. But, oh, man, it really, he'll turn to me now and say, I might go to a place called Southampton. And we both just laugh. Oh, George, you big silly sausage.
I mean, I'm surprised he didn't have some aide pointing out to him that were familiar with the concept of South Africa and no explanation was needed.
Oh, speaking of Georges as well, Emily, I'm not telling you this, Emily, I'm telling the readers.
Global citizens. Emily,
if you remember last week, the robo citizens, I was talking about, I'd watched the Freddie Mercury tribute concert and been utterly blown away by George Michael, a man who, to be honest, I didn't have a high regard for as a performer. And I watched him do Somebody to Love and it completely blew my mind. And I told Emily, who it turned out was a devotee of this particular performance. And then this week she sent me the rehearsal for Freddie Mercury. And, you know, in rehearsal when people... someone was telling me they were in Les Mis. And Les Miserables. And that they were in rehearsal. And the top person in the rehearsal was going, stuff like, you can hear the people sing. High note. Telling a song of angry high note. And just saying high note instead of singing them to save their voice. But George Michael... even in the rehearsal, was absolutely mind-blowing.
Totally, it was incredible. And I like David Bowie and Seal at the end. Did you see that, Frank?
Yeah, I like Seal pretending that standing next to David Bowie wasn't one of the most exciting things that had ever happened.
That reminds me, to send you guys that YouTube clip of Donald Trump saying China for 4.5 minutes. It's good. Good reminder, thanks.
Yeah. By the way, at Absolute Radio, do not think people should inject disinfectant into themselves, just in case the mention of Donald Trump suggests that we endorse that. We don't. I'm sorry, Mr. Sheen. I know it's been good for you, but not for the rest of us.
This is Frank Skinner. This is Absolute Radio.
Hello, this is Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio with Emily Dean and Alan Cochrane. We're live. No, we're not live. We're not live. I had one job. I got it wrong. We're not live. So we're not. We're really not live. So do not text the show. But you can follow us at Frank on the Radio on Twitter and Instagram and email us via the Absolute Radio website. And it's very important that we keep hearing from you, because, you know, there's a lot of people missing a lot of people, and I'm missing the regular input into the show from our fabulous readers. I must say that to me is the life's blood of the whole enterprise. I don't mean as in Star Trek.
As J-Lo said, Frank, on One World Together, I miss you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I miss you.
Mm. Well, we've been getting, they're fabulous, our readers. They've been sending us all sorts of updates. We've had a lot of people, Frank, getting in touch about your poetry podcast, which was released last week. A lot of praise. I'm just saying. I know we can't read it out.
No, I'm glad to hear about it, believe me.
A lot of praise.
I just think it's distasteful to read it out, but I'm really glad to receive it. I honestly thought that this was one project I would do, I just thought it would, no one would ever know it had happened. That's what I thought about it.
Really? And au contraire, because I'd like to say I downloaded it and I didn't like it. I loved it. Well.
Excellent.
Do you like cricket?
Okay. That was a scary moment for us all then. I went for the Simon Cowell misdirection.
Just give me a chance to pick up all my equipment, the laptop and everything that I've just thrown it on.
I have to say, it was so brilliant. It was so fascinating and involving, and it was from the heart. I got the poems up on the screen. I went through them line by line as you analyse them. I was blown away. I was absolutely blown away.
Well, can I point out, I am by no means a sort of critic, academic. I am basically, I'm a poetry fanboy. I'm a fanboy.
Trust me, you are a critic.
Okay. Yeah, but I mean of poetry.
But I was filled with enormous respect and love for you because I thought it was so brilliant.
Oh, well, thank you so much for that. You know,
I loved it so much, Al, that I actually have got a little homemade jingle I'd like to try out playing to you. I'm going to play it on my phone. So have a listen and let's see if this works. Okay, silence, please.
You're the poetry man. You make things all right. Yeah.
There you go. You're the poetry man. You make things all right.
Oh.
Oh, is that an actual song or is that you?
It is. No, that's it not is. Me.
Oh, I don't know.
That's an actual song.
Who sang that?
It's Phoebe Snow. And I just thought that was perfect. Ever. So I'll give you your own jingle.
I love it. I don't know if it's
true, man, and you make things all right.
Yeah. I don't know if it'll replace The Loneliest Man in the World.
Jenny Holder said, Frank, I didn't know that what I needed during lockdown was a poetry podcast from Frank Skinner, but it turns out I definitely did. So there you go.
Oh, well.
They can't
I haven't
for
heard
more.
It yet, Frank, but I definitely okay. will, because one of my favourite things is your Ian McMillan impression, so I'm assuming that that's going to get an airing.
Ian McMillan. I know it doesn't, but maybe it should. If it weren't doing one of his poems.
I mean, if this isn't a launch vehicle for your Ian McMillan impression, I don't know what is.
You're absolutely right. I mean, you know, you don't get many people doing impressions of poets. It's not a big market. But, you know, yes, it's great. I love it. Thank you for being so kind. And you'll just be happy to know that I'm Till Tandy. I'm Till Tandy. No, that's great, though. And I loved doing it, etc. What else is outside worldy? I don't know what you guys have been doing with your lives.
What's happening in the basement, Al?
Well, I'll come to my life in a minute, but just a minute ago, you sounded slightly bashful that you weren't a poet or a poetry expert, and yet you were hosting this podcast. But I will say this, sometimes experts don't seem to know what they're talking about. I watched a documentary the other day about art.
Who's Michael
Gove? An expert was talking... this guy was talking about a particular artwork. I've forgotten who the artist was, but he said... This painting changed the world, and he was talking about how small it was, and he pointed at it and he said, and it's no bigger than, say, two packets of cornflakes. And I thought, well, that's not really a comparison that anybody else uses. Why can't you do it in, like, A4 or A3,
and what
which
about,
we all
what
do
about if, what about if it's one of those ones you get in hotels and variety packs?
Yeah. I want to know who did the painting now. Probably some artist called Leonardo da Vinci.
Oh,
yeah, exactly.
It was somebody big, but I've forgotten who now. So I've watched a few art documentaries recently.
That's how I am with poetry.
Can get back to you.
I would say, as far as poetry is concerned, I am the Sister Wendy Beckett of the current age.
Frank Skinner.
So we were talking about George Michael earlier and his incredible version of Somebody to Love. And in the rehearsal, as Emily said, David Bowie and Seal are standing at the back.
Smoking.
Smoking. I mean, bit naughty. And... you know, such rebels they were. And... When David Bowie applauds George Michael, do you feel that is completely heartfelt, or is that just inter-performer politeness?
Oh.
I found it heartfelt, but then you see I love both of them. Mm. In a sort of it's possible to love poetry and football way that I know you'll approve of, Frank. But I felt what it was a bit like when the school sort of cool kids saw the nerd do something cool once and thought, oh, okay, oh, respect.
Yeah.
I tell you what, I wonder.
Not that he was a nerd
was...
in my book, but to some he was, you know, not cool.
I find it I don't know if you find this, Al, but in the comedy world, I find, you know, when they talk about things like, I know there's a podcast called this, but I mean the general term, the comedian's comedian, the comedian who other comedians like to watch.
Yeah.
I find that they're always good. They're never great, those comics, because comics don't want to see anyone who's really knockout brilliant, I think. They want to see someone who's really good.
I think comedians like acts that are the definition of hit and miss. They're a hit with comedians and a miss with the general public, I think.
Yeah, and also hit and miss in that they've at least got the hope in their hearts that they might go badly that night that they're watching them. I went and saw, the first time I saw David Bowie live was on the Serious Moonlight tour. And he did Young Americans. Mm. And he did that. And there's one damn song that can make me. And I thought, here we go.
Big
and
note.
He went, break down and cry. And I thought, no, I'm not having that.
You know,
and a lot of, you hear singers, on that very same Freddie Mercury tribute, Elton John does Bohemian Rhapsody. And he does a few, I'm going down, I'm not going up.
Oh. You know?
Well, I always imagine like a lift, a bloke with a lift going up in a lift. The doors open. There's a lift attendant says to Elton John, going up, sir? No. No, I'm going down.
Well, Frank, I believe as the George Michael, as the curator of that concert appearance, I know so much about it. I believe George Michael described that falsetto note that he hits when he sings Somebody To, which I'm not going to even attempt. He described it as the bravest note he ever hit.
Wow.
There you go. Yeah.
Oh, there's a moment on the end of Running Scared by Roy Orbison. When he goes in the rehearsal, he went into falsetto and the producer said, you don't need to do this in falsetto, Roy, just go for the note. And he went for it. And it's like a moment where you can hear the angel singing in heaven. It's so spectacular. The one damn song that could make me
break down and cry.
Rob, get off. I'd waited all night for that moment.
I wish the whole audience had gone,
I'd ask our readers, if anyone has been to see a singer live and was waiting for a big note that they were robbed of, let us know about that experience. You get comics thinking, you know what, I'm not doing the punchline. I'll do a sort of a slight. I'll end on a minor chord. Not acceptable. Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio. Al, what are you doing with your lockdown life?
Well, it's mixed. I'm not going to lie. There's good and bad moments within it.
There's good and bad in everyone.
Yes, indeed. I tell you what, I have been surprised by, though, with what I've been missing, because you'd think that what you'd miss would be the stuff that you do all the time. And I do. I do, like, I mean, as you guys know, I'm a fan of the martial arts, and I miss going to the grappling. I saw my gum shield that actually this show gave me as a gift that says the cockerel around the mouth on it. And I thought, oh, I haven't had to wear that for ages to grapple with my pals, and I genuinely missed it. But what's more surprising?
Could you use a mannequin or something of that nature?
Not really, no. It's not the same.
What about the wife?
There's people trying to leg lock chairs and stuff like that. It doesn't work.
I think that's a bit undignified.
We had a dog that used to do that. Absolutely right. Yeah, it's ridiculous. But I have been surprised. I hardly ever go swimming. But since this lockdown, I've caught myself about 10 times thinking, oh, it's a real shame we can't go swimming during the lockdown. And for some reason, I really fancy going swimming, but it's not allowed. And even then, the last time I tried to go swimming, I didn't get in the pool because it was closed, and we ended up talking about that on the show.
Oh, yeah, that was the incident.
Corpse or poo. I've caught myself watching Sharon Davis, the swimmer who was she was in the papers this week doing pretend swimming in her kitchen. Amazing.
Amazing back muscles she must have.
Yeah.
Because
and also she had the She had the hat and the goggles and the swimming costume on, and she was in the kitchen on the worktop, and people were very impressed at her. I don't think my family would be that impressed if I did it. I think it'd probably lead to the kitchen getting a deep clean rather than me getting any.
I think you're trying to justify the fact to Mrs. Cockrell that you were caught watching videos of Sharon Davis in a swimming costume. I'm sorry, I do.
Fair play. I interviewed David Coulthard once, and he told me that as a young boy, he used to lie on the kitchen table with his head off the edge and hold his head like completely still in order to strengthen his neck muscles.
Oh, that's clever.
Because Formula One drivers need really strong neck muscles.
Oh,
because
is that right?
They drive like, you know, you see dogs with their heads out the window and the tongues out. They tend to drive like that, apparently. I've never noticed it, but they love that.
Yeah, ooh. my cousin, who became a professional rugby player, told me that when Maradona was a child, he slept with a football in the bed next to him. Very cute,
did
isn't
he?
It? And he became quite a notable footballer. I don't know if you've heard.
I don't know. George Ezra knows all about that. We'll have to ask him.
Diego Maradona, his name was.
Kathy McGowan, who presented Ready, Steady, Go, I think she sleeps with a ball next to her. She's married to Michael Ball. I'm sorry, it wasn't worth going there. Also, I'm not totally sure it's true. Anyway,
no, it is true.
I like the idea of being able to. I saw the Sharon Davis thing. In case you can't picture it, like it's only like from the sort of thighs that were supported, and the rest of it was just sticking straight out from the work surface, unsupported. Like she got the strongest lumbar muscles you've ever seen.
Really good.
Like you could use her as an extra flap on a table.
Yes.
If you had guests.
A lot of analysis of the Sharon Davis clip from you two, just saying.
Well, no, but you know what? Although she's obviously, whatever, but it was really quite impressive. I thought she must
really
be
impressive.
60. Must be 60. Got her back
57,
like an ironing board.
58, something like that, yeah.
Well, you know, that's 60.
And also much less chance of getting a verruca.
Well, yeah. Yeah, but she could. She could get an ant bite if she was doing it on my kitchen work surface, but that's another story.
Frank Skinner. Frank Skinner. Absolute Radio.
Frank, would you like to hear from the outside world? Our readers have been getting in touch.
Well, you haven't been out there for a while, so I would quite like to know what's occurring.
Well, we've had a review.
That's what Sharon Davis looked like. She looked like a medieval gargoyle. Thrusting out the side of a cathedral. Anyway, carry on.
I'm sure she'll be delighted with that review.
But he's very good on similes in the poetry podcast.
We've had Jonathan B has got in touch, Johnny B. Frank's hair is getting too long and needs a cut by someone in his household. I would recommend a buzz cut. Do you see?
Well, I'll tell you what. I've bought some clippers and they've been on charge all night, and I just tried them in anticipation. What I want is one of those sort of, you know, when you see like Mad Max and they've got long hair and completely shaved back and sides on the thing.
Yes.
That's what I thought. I'll go for that in lockdown where no one's really seeing me. But the damn clippers don't seem to have charged, and I can't think of another way of getting it that short. Any offers?
Singe?
No, I don't want to. I don't want a Norman Singin with
Singin Stevers.
But I am. I'm tempted to do something ludicrous with my hair because I'm. You know, I don't need it to be sensible.
Yeah, why not? There's never been a lower cost time to have wacky hair, has there? If you think about
exactly.
it,
exactly. I might go for the old, the custard look that Billie Eilish favours.
David Blundell has also been in touch. Or David Blundell, whichever you prefer. Hi, Frank, Alan and Divine Miss M. In this lockdown life, we're all in a lot closer proximity to our possessions. Is there anything you've looked at recently and thought, why the hell did I buy that?
Yeah, the hair clippers. that I bought 2 days.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I'll tell you what.
You see, I've thought this, Frank, about mugs.
Oh, yeah. I've got too many mugs, I must say. But I don't know if I've ever bought one.
Well, I counted the other day and I realised, I mean, I sort of, I live Han Solo, as you know, and I have 26 mugs. Oof. And I suddenly thought that's 2 Last Suppers I could have with those mugs.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Do you think if you had one, would you drink out of a dirty mug for 2 weeks if you had to?
That's would an internet mean request with in my time. But
with 26 mugs, you could go a whole year if you could drink for a fortnight out of a dirty mug and never have to wash a mug. And then you could wash them all at New Year.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Something to do.
It's a time for... That's the one resolution out of the way. I'm going to wash them mugs. You know, them mugs are mine. I'm going to give them a rinse. Yeah, there's lots of mistakes I've made with buying things. You know, musical instruments you're going to learn and things like that.
I think lockdown is really making people realise how many books they've bought and not started, don't you think?
Yes.
There's a lot of books in the background that...
Yeah, I don't think it's absolutely essential to read books that you buy.
No, I agree.
I get tremendous pleasure from buying books and reading books, but I don't think they're sort of mutually... I think I can just take the pleasure of buying one and just have that. Mm. I'm okay with that. No, you don't want to pressure yourself into actually reading them. What else has come in from our readers?
Well, we've had an email lying dormant for a little while about
Francis
handshake.
Dormant.
Yes, we had we had a handshaking conversation. I think quite early in this downtime. Saturday's programme. I think shaking hands came about in the days when people carried swords. It was to show non-aggression, i.e., it was your sword hand that you used. And that's from Philip Trainer, Billinghurst.
Oh, I see.
The theory is you haven't got a
weapon. What about Shaken Stevens? When did he come about? He'll have to change his name now. Too many difficult associations.
I was watching a sort of swashbuckling epic that included a sword fight.
That sounds.
Oh no,
like
it wasn't actually. Actually. Come to think of it, it was John Pertwee fighting the Master.
Of course,
but anyway,
it was.
And I always thought I have never seen a sword fight on television or in a film which doesn't sort of wear its choreography on its sleeve.
Yes,
you know, you can really feel the choreography in it. It's so carefully rehearsed. I have never seen a sword fight in a film that looks like I imagine a real sword fight.
It looks organic. Yes. And I always feel when I watch any sort of sword fight, I'm afraid, and this might be largely due to growing up with actors, but I just immediately imagine them in sort of Reebok trainers in some RADA hall. Yes. Doing their fencing, and I find it a bit depressing. So I can't really watch sword fights for that reason, I'm afraid.
Do you know what? This has just reminded me, Frank. I'd completely forgotten, but I think about texting you almost every evening at the moment because my daughter has become obsessed with watching the television series Merlin. It's on iPlayer and we're watching a Merlin episode almost every
brilliant.
Night.
Brilliant.
Yeah, well, you're the only person that I know that I could text that would think that was brilliant.
I read the other day that Matt Smith was up for the part of Merlin.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that would have been...
Although confusing if that comes up on the figures, the old sort of demographics for their viewers...
Yes.
Oh, we seem to have a child, Tom. And then we have a man in his 60s. I'm wondering what products they would
both
enjoy.
But that was it with Merlin, something for everybody.
Yes.
As King Arthur often, I think he said in the eulogy at Merlin's funeral. No, I think Merlin... Did Merlin outlive Arthur or vice versa? I know they're both fictional, but you know what I mean.
Don't spoil the end for me.
Sorry, are you reading Thomas Mallory's Mort Daughter? Oh, lockdown, it's really opening up a few doors we thought would stay shut. What do you think, DLT? Well, I absolutely... I can't remember who talked, but, you know, Hairy Cornflake, etc. I went to a live performance by DLT once, and he asked for volunteers, and me and two mates got on stage, and he said, I'll choose, and made us all get off again. And that, I think, is proof that my curses eventually work. Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio. This is Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio with Emily Dean and Alan Cochran. Don't text the show today because we are not live, but you can follow us at Frank on the Radio on Twitter and Instagram, and email us, of course, via the Absolute Radio website.
Frank, I'd like to give you both some updates on a slight issue I'm having, which is Raymond's grooming in lockdown is becoming problematic. I mean, you're
Raymond
both...
is Emily's dog, by the way, if you're a new reader.
Yeah. Not Massey. I don't live with him. And, I mean, you're both familiar with my dog, and it won't escape your notice that I think it's fair to describe him as hirsute. He's a dog with hair rather than fur. So
yeah, he's a hairy little munchkin, isn't he?
That's never occurred to me, that distinction between hair and fur. How long does fur have to be before it becomes hair? 8, 12, 15... I know you can't... don't text, we're not live.
And also a very insensitive question to be asking a lady at this point in the game. Oh, well. I would say fur grows 2 to 3 inches maximum, probably. Hair, there's no stopping it. There's no stopping it. We'll just keep on growing.
And I believe love grows where my rosemary goes. And nobody knows like me.
That's good.
I mean, you should be ringing up your rosemary with Kath listening.
If there's any herbologists listening. Okay, so could you just take the scissors to him? Is that acceptable?
Yes. I mean, Shih Tzus have a double coat. Rather like they're wearing a sort of padded gilet underneath the coat.
Oh, excellent.
Do you see?
Do they? Oh,
that's clever, isn't it?
Like a jacket and an overcoat.
Yes.
But presumably let it get too long, then Raymond gets too hot. Is that the downside?
Yes, and also it's just, I mean, he can barely walk with the weight on his shoulders. So
can I just say on the overcoat subject that I once got a letter from the much-loved Irish comedian Jimmy Crickey, which was about something completely different, but it began, it's been very cold just lately, hasn't it? It's so cold, I opened my wardrobe the other day and my coat was wearing an overcoat. It's just a letter he sent me. Fantastic.
He put a joke in it to open.
He did material in the beginning.
And I don't think it's the only joke he's got, if I remember his promise. Sure.
He's material on material. He's got all.
There's more.
Oh, very good. Oh. So Raymond had a sort of Anna Wintour bob prior to lockdown, which I was thrilled with. And a few weeks in, I'd say it's morphed more. It's kind of a bit more lead guitar in Motley Crue. It's a bit all over the place.
Oh. Hmm.
It's crazy wild, as I believe Daniel Amicacci once said. So I tried to cut his hair with nail scissors, which I don't recommend. He was very calm and still throughout, but he's got a sort of Henry V Agincourt fringe now. It's not looking good. And a moustache, a kind of silent movie villain moustache. But I've trimmed the skirting and the nether regions, and I've cleaned his act up a bit. But I got very inspired by this video I saw. I think it was on TikTok originally. Did either of you see this? It's a woman in California who's called Lynn Shelton, and she has come up with a strategy to distract her dogs so that she can cut their claws.
I did see this.
Did you see this, Al? She wrapped cling film on her head and smeared peanut butter across a cling film coated head.
Yeah.
It did make me think how, you know, I've been talking about how coronavirus has changed all our priorities. How we're now in the sort of, and not now, Greta, in that. And I just thought, it doesn't seem so long ago that just the peanut butter, because of the great nut allergy thing, it was public enemy number one, peanut butter. It was like, yes, it was like napalm.
Yeah.
And to see, now I was watching this woman and I thought, oh my God, what if the dog's got a... And then I thought, no, calm down. There's even a disclaimer about that.
There's even a disclaimer. She says, this is peanut butter that doesn't have whatever it is.
Xylitol.
I don't think that's the thing. I think xylitol is an artificial sweetener, isn't it?
That's poisonous potentially to dogs.
You know you know these rumours about things that are bad for dogs, like chocolate and stuff like that. They lived on exclusively that, my dogs.
Oh, all right. How are they doing?
You know, that's what they... Well, they're all dead, obviously.
Insensitive.
I've got them somewhere in a trunk.
Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio.
Frank, you were talking just now about essentially how dogs ate anything in my day and they lived to tell the tale.
Yeah.
And I know what you mean. I often
think chase
that.
What is this? They live to chase the tale.
But I think you're right. But I often think that. I think, well, there never used to be this level of detail over the dog's diet, and this is poisonous and that's poisonous. But I believe what it's to do with is it's to do with so many chemicals in food now and additives. So the chocolate your dog had was probably much purer. Do you see?
What about us? Aren't we eating all that rubbish?
That's the sad next step.
Well, that's
step
the problem.
Is the dog like the... Is the dog like the canary that miners used to take down the main shaft?
Is he Leica in space?
So our dogs, exactly. I like her everywhere. So the dogs, they're a warning to us.
They are a warning.
That we shouldn't be eating modern food at all.
Can we, for a second, return to this woman that smeared the peanut butter onto her head?
Lynn Shelton.
I don't know if we've made it clear why she did that. She had cling film around her head. And the idea was...
Well, that's her excuse.
She boasts, I look like a dork just now, but I'm going to look like a genius. And then the dog runs over and licks the peanut butter off whilst she clips its nails.
Did you hear the husband saying, "What the hell are you doing?"
Well, the husband is part of my problem with this whole thing, because I think if she lived alone and had a dog and she had done that, enough respect. I would say respect to Mundo. I would even use the 100 emoji. But the fact that he's in the corner and he can't just hold the dog while she clips its nails makes it all seem horribly attention-seeking and unnecessary to me.
Yes. Also, can I say something? Imagine if I tried that. Ray's very sort of vertically challenged, so I would have to lie flat on the floor for that experiment to work. Can you imagine if the postman appeared and I have a door? I have a glass panel in my door. He would be able to see me lying on the floor with my forehead smeared in peanut butter with the dog licking me.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a good look.
Tell him that I was doing a short film about the Crimean War and that we were going to put in the bandage with the small circle of blood afterwards. And I've just put the peanut butter up to give him a target. That would be that's how I'd get around it.
Oh,
She looked great, even with a cling film around her head and with peanut butter on it. That was one of the purposes of the video, wasn't it? Yeah.
I'm still really
She had a sort of tank girl feel to her.
I'm very pleased with your Crimean War reference, which isn't something I say every day, except an intimate situation, because you're absolutely right. I associate very much the head bandage with that particular war for some reason.
Let's say a Crimean War veteran had a pet bat and he was trying to cut its nails. He would just let it suck the blood out of his head bandage as he worked on its talons.
That's a good point.
Thanks. It's a little tip. You can have that.
Nice for bats to get some positive media, I think.
If there's any Crimean War veterans listening, I like giving tips for our readers. Frank Skinner on Absolute
Radio. Peanut butter headband woman, who we were talking about earlier, was something she said, which I'm afraid I took great exception to, was, I mean, my dog is a real foodie, so I had to do this. I mean, come
on.
Firstly, yeah. I don't like people that describe themselves as foodies.
No, the word say, foodie is, it upsets it's, me.
It's when people say food is one of my passions. It's like survival is one of my passions. I'm sorry. And also, my dog likes food. Really?
Yeah, because a lot of them, I find,
South Africa.
You know, you get a lot of dogs that are very strict on their diet. They won't, you know, they'll turn their nose up at, you know, lots of chocolate cake and stuff like that. I'd say I had a mate, and we had a Staffordshire Bull Terrier. And I was turned up at his house. He was a married man. And he said to me, where's the dog? I said, I don't know. He didn't leave the door open. And I said, I don't know. And we went into the his front room, and the dog was on the table just finishing off a Black Forest gatto. And I mean, like a really big one. It's about 8 inches high, or it had been. He was just finished. He ate the whole damn thing. He wasn't sick or anything. And he lived. It was all fine. So that's my... It's anecdotal evidence,
they lived, but
I know.
But how long could he have lived had he not had the gatto? That's the problem.
Well,
he
I mean,
have that's couple of years.
I don't know. I'll have to phone Chris Whitty and ask him for some a couple yes. of charts of that. But if you're going to go eat an entire Black Forest... I mean, got up onto the... just seeing a dog standing on a dining table like with a white tablecloth like that was fantastic.
If you're going to go... if you're going to go, it's got to be death by chocolate, not Black Forest gatto.
Can you just ask a question? I'm not familiar with the practice of cutting the nails of dogs.
It's almost like you didn't do anything for the dogs that you had.
Well, we never... I can honestly... I had dogs my whole life till I was about 27. We never brushed one, bathed one... bought one
you
a tin
say
of dog
this,
poo.
Like, these are these halcyon days we need to go back to.
Well, I mean, think the dogs, you know, they're
do you think they had a nice life?
I
mean, I'm
love
sure they.
It.
Okay.
Well, I mean, as not, you I'm say, sure... food is. We're giving them, you know, it's not the chocolate that got them, it's the modern additives and stuff. So
anyway, may yes. I say, Frank, that I think what's happened now is that we've realised that if dogs' claws get left for too long, they start to sort of scrap at the ground, and it's just not good for them. It's not as comfy, so we trim
is
them
that
now.
I know what, I'm not doing this for comedy effect. I had no idea that people cut dogs' nails.
Oh, you have well, to, Frank. My dog at the moment sounds like Nosferatu coming down the stairs. I mean, the nails...
I used to love the sound of dog nails on linoleum was one of the sounds of my childhood.
Oh, my dog's barking right now.
Oh, yeah.
I can hear Lucky. Is Lucky having any grooming, Al?
Interesting times. Well, for a very sweet period, Lucky and I had exactly the same cycle of needing our nails trimmed when she needed to.
They say when they live together,
to
that happens.
That's exactly. But we've now gone out of sync. That's lockdown for you. It's a time of great stress.
Yeah. Did I ever tell you about the time my dad cut the canaries? Nails.
No, but I've got a bad feeling about it.
I think we'll make that a bit of a cliffhanger. Frank Skinner, Absolute Radio. So we had a canary when I was a boy, and my it got its nails got incredibly. They were on there. They were doing a lap of honour around the perch. They'd already encircled the perch once, and now they were making their way around again. Clearly, they were too long. Yeah. And my dad came in, intoxicated. I'll be straight with you. And he said, "I'm going to do the nails on that thing." And my mom said, "No, you're drunk and all that." But nevertheless, he took it out of the cage, and he got these scissors, and. Anyway, it's not as he he dropped it. It fluttered and he dropped it. And it went up. And it went up to the light bulb in the kitchen. And it went round and round the light bulb really quickly like a moth. And then it dropped and the cat had it and took it off.
No.
Oh, God. That's horrific.
It is horrific. I don't know why I'm laughing. Maybe I'm hysterical. I'm just hysterical. I'm so upset. But, that was the end of that. The terrible thing was, what I remember about it is that the cage wasn't cleared away for about a fortnight. There was just an empty cage in one corner. Oh, its emptiness screamed at us and just made the cat think the golden years.
Shameful reminder.
Yes. It just shows how one of those Tweety Boy cartoons could have ended.
Yeah, I was going to say, it never happens in Looney Tunes.
No. Oh, dear, different. One thing, my child, who is nearly eight now, but he hates having his nails cut, fingers and toes.
Oh, yeah, they don't like it, do they?
It did make me think, I wonder if I could use this, a variation on this method of the peanut butter on the forehead. I thought if I wore one of those ornate turbans with the plume, you know, the ones you see with the plume and a stone at the foot of it.
Yes, I love those.
I thought if I replace the stone with a Kinder egg at the base of the plume, I think I could probably cut his fingernails and toenails with no fuss whatsoever. And a lovely surprise at the end. I might give that a go.
I never trim my own fingernails. I bite them down. I don't ever use the device. I use the device to trim my toenails. I can't bite those down. I haven't got the
good use of the device, Mr. Logic. I like the device.
Clippers. That's what the word is. I'm just struggling on the word clippers.
Well, do you know what I did? I bought a baby. You know those kits you get for newborns, which you'll both be. I didn't buy a baby, but you know those kits you'll both be familiar with that you get for newborns. You know, with the little scissors and the sort of clippers and things like that. I got that for Ray. Yes, and a thermometer. Can I just say, I got that for Ray.
Nice.
So I use those.
Yeah. Remember to never use that thermometer when I'm round your house. They'll like the sound of that very much. He must look, when you got the thermometer in, it must look like when you drop a toffee apple and then pick it up from the floor and it's got fluff and hair all over it. Poor Ray. We forget, of course, about the pets. I mean, they had enough to put up with Bonfire Night, but now...
I know.
Now they've got this as well.
Well, the whippet got the clapping is the perfect as well. Lockdown. The whippet is the perfect lockdown pet. Short hair... Hardly needs any exercise, and when it does, it just, you know, once a day, give it a quick blast and it's fine. Perfect lockdown pet, highly recommended.
My vote would be the house cat for the perfect yes. lockdown pet.
Good shout. Frank Skinner. Frank Skinner. Absolute Radio. Friend of the show, Peter Crouch, has also been in the news regarding dogs this week. Apparently he now has a dog that he one day hopes will win Crofts. And his wife, Abby Clancy, has said that they bought a cage for the dog on Amazon, and she boasted it's the biggest on Amazon, and it's so big that Peter Crouch and the four kids can all get in there.
Peter Crouch can get in
children.
And out with a... Peter doesn't even open the door. He just goes in between the bars. It's like when you know when a magician puts someone in a trunk and they pass a sword through it.
Yes.
To show that they've disappeared. Again, you know what I asked about the nail thing? A dog cage, is that a thing?
Yes, it's quite a popular thing where the dog finds it kind of protecting and comforting to go into its own space. So it's good for them. Some people think it's a bit cruel, but it's actually nice for them.
What
we don't
about
really
the
use
kennel?
Ours anymore, but... The kennel, they don't really exist so much anymore, Frank.
Wow, God, I tell you, I'm so out of touch with the dog world.
Yeah. You've devoted a lot of your time to the poetry, haven't you?
That is true. So is Peter Crouch, can one get a dog like that and think, oh yeah, I've got a Crofts champion here? Would you know that? Emily, you must know the answer to this. Would you just know early on? Is it like when people saw Lionel Messi when he was 9 and thought, oh my God, we've really got something special here?
Well, the thing about dogs, particularly with show dogs, is they have to be Kennel Club registered if mm-hmm. they're going to be eligible for entry. And really, it comes down to, I'm afraid, it does come down to a sort of physical perfection thing. You know, you can't have stray markings and they have to look a certain way. So possibly he's confident his Labrador is, you know, 100%
he might
perfect.
Have, you know, he might know. He'd have to know a lot about it to know that. But maybe maybe Peter Crouch knows more about dogs than we think. Maybe he's the Peter Purvis of his generation.
Well, we loved Abby when we met her at the Brits. And I think Peter Crouch in the ring, can you imagine holding the trophy? I would love it.
Peter Crouch finally gets to hold the trophy.
Amazing.
Well, I hope he's right about the dog, or is it PC gone mad?
Very good.
Anyway.
That's very good. Fair play.
He's taking a bit of a chance, though, at Crofts, isn't he, Peter Crouch? Peter Crouch. Peter Crouch. That was definitely a Freudian slip. Let's keep it in. So we come to the end of the show. I should say that Sarah Champion is up next. It's great, isn't it, that Absolute is battling on. Mm-hmm. I feel a bit like I'm a sort of become a Vera Lynn character in this context.
It's funny you say that. I've always thought of you as a Vera Lynn character.
Yeah, I think
anyway.
There's something in that. Anyway, we'll meet again. by the way, my next, I shouldn't do this, but my next poetry podcast is out on Monday the 27th. This time I'll be discussing the beat movement of the 40s and 50s. I love the beats. Anyway, look, thank you so much for listening today. And I really mean that. And you know what? If the good Lord spares us and the creeks don't rise, we'll be back again this time next week. Now stop in.